B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to
Good
rock.
Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Friday show. We have survived the week here. 975 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia with the Mike Misnelli Show, broadcasting with Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. All right, we still have a show to do, so we haven't really technically survived the week. But we plan on surviving the week. And we plan on surviving many weeks into this thing. So let's recap what's going on in the sports world, and let's recap what's going on in the COVID-19 world, where everybody is living and trying to manage from day to day, and as the situation is getting worse. You're sequestered in your homes. Some people can work, some people cannot work. All that stuff. It is a complete lifestyle change that we're just scratching the surface on, and we are in this together. And I want to remind people of that phrase: we are in this together. Because a little later in this segment, I'm going to talk about how people aren't in this together. But first of all, let's look at the sports world and how it's affecting the Philadelphia sports world. It has been reported that 3 76ers now have tested positive for COVID-19. 76er officials. I'm sorry, not players. 76er officials.
So it could be a player, a coach, or a front office
person. So it could be a player. And most likely it is. And for some reason, they don't want to identify him. I guess because of privacy. I don't know why. But it's not going to get better. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. So we're going to have these reports every day about someone else contracting COVID-19. So, you know, we're going to have to roll with this. And today is going to be a big discussion show about how we're actually managing. We've pretty much, for the first 4 days, tried to carry on with humor and entertainment and while giving you some facts. But we almost like we're trying to put it in a box and pretend it doesn't exist as we do this show, because people want to be entertained. They want to have a diversion, and that's what we're here for. But there are also some ramifications where we're not going to be able to avoid it. Now, we're a week in. We've managed to do our best to entertain, and hopefully we don't run out. We don't plan to run out. We plan to talk every day like we're going to be able to entertain you. But there are people at home that are now living at home under completely different circumstances. Most people have never lived together in the same house for 24 hours a day. Most people, even if you don't work, you're out and about, you're working out, you're doing something, the kids are at school, you've really never lived with the family, shuttered in, quarantined for 24 hours. And we want to know how people are managing that part of it. Again, it's the early week, it's the first week we've had to go through this. But you can see that we need diversions. We need to be able to leave our house and go to work. We need to... is the camera off again, Rob? Yeah, we got hurt. The camera... All right, let's center us now. Can we center us? There we go. all right, we can't do it yet. But anyway, I hate when this happens. I really do.
Yeah,
but anyway... So we want to talk about the people who actually are living under this thing. Now, let's look at the sports part of this with Darius Slay. And we're going to get into this topic a little bit today. So Darius Slay had some things to say about his coach. And we're going to have John Clark on. John Clark did an interview with Darius Slay. And so we're going to have John Clark talk about Darius Slay. Now, what he said was he offered up some information on this guy, that this guy had something very vulgar to say to him after he looked at some video in the middle of a meeting. So he looked at the video and he didn't think that he was. What's the story? That he wasn't being hard enough on the guy he was covering?
Yeah, a teammate.
A teammate.
Yeah, he was looking at practice video.
Practice video. And so he looked at the teammate and said he's not covering him hard enough. So he said in the meeting, why are you, I don't know, how can I say this? How can I say this cleanly?
Piling around?
Yes, but he used the vulgar term that is, It's a very vulgar and macho way to talk to somebody. In other words, if you remember the movie Pulp Fiction, in Pulp Fiction, Harvey Keitel, in saying to his guy that they're not, that the job is not complete yet, said, let's not start blah, 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 blah yet.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So basically, this was Matt Patricia's edict to Darius Slay. He kind of, it was like a vulgar way of saying, why are you buttering a guy up? Why are you not being as hard on a guy as you can?
Right. Right. But he used bad language.
Now, there are two sides to this. This is a coach talking to a player, right? And so, like, some coaches have different methodology. Now, I don't know if Matt Patricia is out of line or not when he does this, when you think about it, right? Do you believe he is out of line by saying this?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because you have to, if you're going to talk to somebody like mm-hmm. that, you have to have earned their respect.
Okay.
Because you're being disrespectful. Uh-huh. So if you want to be disrespectful, you can, but then you have to have a certain amount of cachet.
Are you being disrespectful?
Absolutely.
It's coach speak.
No, it's not.
Are you being disrespectful?
It was coach speak 20 years ago.
Okay, so the times have changed now, and you can't say that kind of thing.
Not if you haven't won anything. You can say whatever you want if you're a winner.
Okay.
He's not a winner.
All right.
He's a loser so far.
I get it. Now, from his standpoint, he knows one way, this guy, Matt Patricia. He's been under Belichick. He's probably talked that way also. He's one of these big, gruff football coaches. He's more of an old-school football coach. Now, I'm not trying to stick up for this guy because I don't know him at all, and I think he looks kind of like an ass when he has the pencil in his ear. But he's of this macho culture that would say something like that as a coach to get better performance out of a guy. For instance, there was the story that followed Matt Patricia that where he didn't like the fact that Darius Slay exchanged jerseys with a Green Bay Packer,
mm-hmm.
right? There are some guys that look at that. Like, we at times look at it as fans and go, there's too much patronizing going on between player and fan and player, right? Do we not look at that all the time?
Yeah, we look at that at times.
So, like, several years ago, Sante Samuel was guilty of that, where he was yucking it up after a game, after they lost a tough game. And I remember taking calls from fans saying, why are they so, why do they curtail to the enemy like that? We don't want to see that. So fans are conditioned to think that the enemy has to remain the enemy. Like, even though it might not be realistic in this day and age where players are chummy with each other. Most fans look at it and go, that's kind of an insult to our intelligence, an insult to our fan base, not to hate the enemy, that these guys love each other too much. We hate the enemy, and we want to know that they also hate the enemy and take losses hard.
Yeah.
I know it's a past time, but when I look at that, and this guy is an old school coach, and again, I'm not trying to stick up for him, I just think that the comment is overblown to Darius Slay. It's not meant as a personal insult. It's meant as a coach trying to get his players' attention and trying to get the best competitiveness out of them.
I disagree completely.
All right. Same.
Okay. I think he's been, and his first impression of him was he had just made the Pro Bowl and was all pro. And the first time they ever met, he said, "You're not elite." That was the first thing he's ever said. So I don't believe at all he was trying to get. I don't think he respected Darius Slay at all, okay. Like as a human.
Do we know that he's not treated other players like this? We don't.
No, he may not respect anyone. Okay, some people don't respect anybody.
But see, coaches are not about. Some coaches are about the respect. Some coaches are gruffer than others. Those coaches usually don't survive because players eventually get sick of them. But if that's their methodology and they don't mean it as a personal insult, then kind of everything goes with a coach until he traps himself and at a bad performance and gets fired.
I mean, but if that's the case, you could be a person to say, hey, that's just how I am. I'm just rude to everybody. I'm not wrong. Like, I hate when people say that. Like, they don't say hi to people or they mm-hmm. have bad manners or they scream at people when they shouldn't. And they just go, oh, that's just how I am. To mm-hmm. me, there's no excuse for it. Whether it doesn't matter who you think you are, you have to deal in the world with other people.
Okay. So suppose he said, hey, Darius, why are you being so soft on that guy? That would have been better.
Much better.
Yeah, okay. Much better.
You got to understand, he's caught up in a macho football world. He's not a human being like us.
It doesn't make it okay to demean people.
Yeah, but you're judging him on our level. You're judging him on our civil level. Coaches yell at players all the time.
But we can't use our standards
to put on a coach on how he determines how he wants to coach his team.
Right.
Now, Andy Reid was very respectful to guys. But there are some coaches that aren't.
Right,
Andy Reid got on guys in private in a certain level. But the difference was Andy Reid is still a people person. You ask almost any player. They like Andy Reid. And they'll admit that Andy Reid, Trey Thomas has said, Andy Reid will get on him. Westbrook, too. There's a way of doing it.
There's your way of doing it.
No, there's a way that works.
No, that's your way of doing it, because you're taking this as a personal insult if somebody were to treat you that way. What I'm saying to you is you got to divorce yourself from that part of it and say it's a coach. He treats certain people certain ways. If he's not successful, that methodology is probably not going to work, but you can't judge a coach by your civil standards of living everyday life.
I'm holding the coach the same way I would any other person that loses all the time.
But the coach isn't the same as any other person who loses every time.
He's a losing coach. Okay. He's done nothing but lose.
All right, so if Belichick were to do this, it would be okay?
Of course, because he won. You can do whatever you want if you're successful. I still don't like it, but if a person is successful...
That guy is thinking that my way of success is to be this kind of a coach.
Right, but that's why he's not successful.
That's why he's not successful.
That's why he's not successful, because he treats people like that. These are grown men he's dealing with, not children.
You know that he's not going to be successful in the future.
He's only coached a couple of years. He's had three bad years now?
You're giving me the stick up for the guy. I'm trying to give you an objective standard about a coach. You're looking at it like it's a personal insult, when I look at it like it's a guy who may have used the wrong words to try to motivate a guy. That's what I'm looking at.
But that's clearly what's not working. So maybe he should readjust it and speak to people like human beings instead of treating them like idiots.
But you can't. And again, Natalie, you're not a football coach.
No, I'm not a football coach.
You have a certain standard on how you want to treat people. Football coaches don't.
Well, maybe they should, and then they'll start to win if they treat their players with respect.
They go by what's worked for them before. That guy has been a coach for a long time. He's probably gruff with his players. It remains to be seen whether he's going to get fired, whether that methodology works
or not.
Gruff
is one thing.
But you're looking at it like it's a personal insult to Darius Slay.
But gruff is one thing, but do you have to be crude like that in front of the whole team?
And single a guy out like the best player.
Football coaches aren't crude to players. Oh my God.
Right, I get it. I'm just saying, to that level, in front of the entire team, that's so disrespectful. I mean, that's just my opinion.
You're not a football person.
I know.
You're not a football player. You're not a football coach.
Yeah, I know.
You're judging it by Sweet Natalie standards.
No, I'm judging it by what I read of the story, and I don't think it's right.
Okay. If he said, why are you being so soft on that guy? That would have been better than don't bleep the bleep. And I go, that's exactly what a football coach would say. If you watched all those HBO football series, they say they're insulting players every day with the F-bomb and this and that.
Right, but clearly that tactic isn't going to motivate Darius Slay anymore, because he took offense to it. There's a different way to communicate with people that's going to work. That doesn't work for him. It didn't work for him. That's why he's here now.
There have been a lot of football coaches, especially in college.
That's different.
It's different?
College is very different.
Well, why?
Those are children.
Why? Okay, so it's better to treat a child that way?
No, it's still wrong. Oh, but college, you don't have a recourse. Grown men have a recourse. They have a guaranteed contract. They have an out. So you can do whatever you want to college players. You can be Bobby Knight. It lasts for a certain amount of time. It's still wrong. In the pros, because every HBO series you mentioned, none of those guys have won Super Bowls. The winners don't act like that. The winners don't. Belichick's one guy. Other guys have won Super Bowls. None of them act like Matt Patricia.
We'll talk to John Clark at 3 o'clock, because there's two sides of this discussion. And also, I want to get into the people's homes now. And I want to ask you this question. Now that you're living together and you can't go to work and you're working from home and the kids are home and you're reluctant to send them out, how are you managing this? I'm curious to know how this is working out so far. Do you have any questions about that?
I have a lot of questions, yeah. What's it like? And also, I want to know from the married people that are having to spend more time together, and then the people who are dating, who decided to kind of shack up in the moment. How's it now? What's it like going from a couple of dates a week Being honest, you can be anonymous. You don't have to, you know.
Yes, because you can't really do that anymore.
And now you're 24/7.
Right. So you can't go out on dates.
No.
You have to actually spend time talking with one another.
Right. And I want to know, and I want people to be honest with themselves. Mm-hmm. How's it going so far?
They said there's going to be a lot of babies and a lot of breakups.
And the babies are great, but even that, you can only do, even if you're doing that a lot, in 24 hours, there's still, let me be very generous, 22 and a half other hours to do other stuff. So even if you're doing a bunch of that, you still got 22 and a half other hours to do other stuff.
Right, and if you want one of the excess kids, I would advise you, as we say in Italy, put the plastic on the pisciadille. There you go. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 2:23 on the Mike Missinelli Show. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. John Clark will come on at 3 o'clock. He interviewed Darius Slay. Brian Westbrook at 4 o'clock as we talk some football issues. And today we're going to talk some life issues. By the way, a note, as we go into the weekend, I will finish the Field of 64. I have decided on something different.
What?
With all the support we're getting for the sitcoms that I have limited, I have decided to go 32 versus 32.
Wow. Wow.
Really? So I'm going to have the left side of the bracket, all sitcoms. The right side of the bracket, all dramas.
Oh, I love this.
So you folks that were really upset that we didn't include Two and a Half Men or The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or
Big Bang Theory.
All those will now be in.
Did Full House, is it in?
I don't know yet.
it should still not be in.
Full House, I don't know. Because I had 24... And I have 8 more to add. So the left side is going to be sitcoms. The right side is going to be drama. And at the end, the championship game will be a sitcom versus a drama. Just to be fair, the sitcoms are going against each other. The dramas are going against each other. It's tough to commingle.
That's
going to
be fantastic. So we could have a Seinfeld versus Sopranos.
Correct.
Wow.
For example.
That's correct. So that's what we're going to do.
Wow.
All right.
Thoughtful.
Now the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer. Time to get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer & Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 200 votes on this one early. Be honest, are you already tired of spending time with your significant other? 41% say yes, 59% say no. So,
see, here's the thing. And I'm going to read an email from a guy that I just got. We're not trying to break up anybody here. We're just trying to point out the reality of the situation. Today, more than any time, there are so many things that you are diverted to in trying to live life. You're here, you're there, you're never home. Like maybe back in the old day you were, but we've gotten used to a lifestyle where we're always on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And this is different. So let me read this email. My partner and I love talking to each other all the time, so the virus forcing us to stay home hasn't changed anything about our relationship. There's a reason we've been together 35 years. It's because we love each other. Oh, listen, I get that. Everybody loves each other. If a relationship can't last because you're at home more often, you can't stand the person we're with, maybe you married the wrong person. That's very idealistic and very premature because it's only been a week.
Yeah.
Now, here's the reality of love and being with somebody in a relationship. Like, I really know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Loving each other means you can love each other because you maintain some semblance of independence. Like, you go out and do this away from your spouse.
Correct.
Or with your spouse, you'll go out and do something together. Rarely are you cloistered in the same home without any diversion at all. That's why this is such a different time. The best couples are more cemented when they can branch out and do some other things and then come back to the hub.
You're absolutely right. And no disrespect to him. 35 mm-hmm. years, God bless you. I'm glad you're happy. But you're absolutely right. And this culture, we don't dig ditches the way previous cultures, but we work more. Mm-hmm. Work-life balance is this generation works way more than previous generations in that when you did a factory job in previous, you worked 8 hours. You clocked in, you clocked out. Now these people are working even when they're home. Mm-hmm. They're working in the car and on the phone when they're not even supposed to be. Now it stops.
So when you're used to going out to work, that's 8 hours that you're not with your spouse or your family. Then you come home and the time is reduced a little bit.
Like 6 to 11.
Where you're not overwhelmed with breathing the same air.
Yes.
That's why how everybody in this modern world has adjusted. You're used to, if you want to go out shopping, even if you want to go out shopping together, you're used to getting out. It's a diversion away from being in the same spot all the time.
You're absolutely right.
And now you're in the same spot all the time. And I'm just curious to know how people are handling that.
And I believe some people are going to have their fights now, and then they're going to figure it out. Other people are fine now, and in 1 week from now, that's when they're going to have the fight. It's going to be all different.
We're trying to get ahead of the curve here. You may be able to last the week. We've been able to last the week. Who the hell knows what's going to happen to us next week? Right? I'm saying that you I don't know. I suppose we run out of stuff to say. I don't know. I don't see that happening. But I'm just saying, if you put that in the house, even if you're just two people, and most people are, you always have other people there. But even if you're just two people, you used to going here, going there to break up the monotony of your life. And now you can. And we have never experienced anything like this.
No, Booney weighs in. Now, he says he's still enjoying with his time with his wife. However, he has no time for people that give the cliche, my spouse is my best friend. He doesn't want to hear it. He also says that both he, obviously, and his wife are both working. So even though they're home, he has to produce this show right now. And she has to do whatever her job is from home. So they're not. But he says he's still enjoying it so far.
Listen, we would all like to think that we live in an idealistic world. Two people together are in wedded bliss. But the reality is that a lot of families shift over from wedded bliss to management.
Mm-hmm.
And now your management, you're with your manager for 24/7. That's the manager. It's no longer, oh my God, I can't. It's so lovey-dovey to be here with my wife. That's been years down the road, you know, from where you were.
I would not be shocked if a happily married couple, somebody said, would you just go somewhere? I'm serious. Go upstairs.
Because we need something. We need a break.
Yes.
I know for a fact, I mean, I'm not in a relationship, but if I were, I would need my space. I would be like, I need at least 2 hours by myself.
People need space. At least. Americans especially in this day and age. We need space.
Yeah, I'd be like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me.
I'm going upstairs to watch TV on a different TV.
I just want
to
be by myself.
Exactly. Yes. Now you're going upstairs on TV and you got kids playing the Xbox and yelling and screaming. You can't get away.
Unless you
go in your backyard and, you know, isolate.
Right. And I think it's better what you're doing, Mike, to talk about it with people rather then wait later, and then people call you. You know, Mike, I'm glad the Phillies are back playing, but I got divorced.
Ahead of the curve.
This could be like a therapy session for everybody who's cooped up at home.
This is what I want this to be today, kind of a therapy session. Because, you know, the sports, there's just a couple things that we can talk about in sports. But, you know, the dating scene, it's like, I'm thinking of people that, like, the dating scene is, if you're not living together, some people live together, and it's cool. But if you're not living together and you're in a dating scene, if you're a younger person, you're still dating, you can't get together anymore. Where are you going to go? Unless you go to her house, she comes to your house. And then what you wonder is, well, who's she been around that I invite her in my house? Like, am I really isolating myself if I bring her and her germs in my house, or his and his germs in my house?
If that's a good point, if some people got together from the beginning thinking it was a good idea, uh-huh. Right at the start, they said, okay, I know this for a fact that a couple people I know had this significant other come over to the house, and now they're spending time together. I wonder one week in if they still have all that enthusiasm that they had when one, because they're kind of moving in a way,
yeah,
but without any prep time. Yeah. It was kind of like just, you didn't think about it. You just did it because you thought it was convenient.
Margot Robbie could call me right now and say, I heard a lot of great things about you. I'd like to come over and talk. And I might be reluctant. I don't know where she's been.
Yeah, but
you guys could sit outside.
The other thing you could do, Mike, like what you tell Margot is say, Margot, as soon as you come in the house, unfortunately, I need you to take those dirty clothes off and get nude and go straight to the shower. That's what nurses are doing when they get home.
Yeah.
Margot, you treat her like a nurse. Make sure she's nice and clean.
I don't know. I don't know what's inside her. She may have it inside. The shower's not going to do any good.
You better take that chance,
Mike. The fact of the matter is I probably take any germ she's got. But yeah, that's beside the point.
You guys can have a picnic.
Picnic.
Yeah. 6 feet.
Yeah, a little blanket.
You get a blanket.
That's the other thing. You stay 6 feet. Play guitar. Or sit home and watch Netflix. By myself.
Separate ends of the couch.
Netflix and chill. Quarantine and chill.
Socially is play ball with my dog. That's it. All right, we come in. We do the show. I go home. Lock and key.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have anybody that I'm locking another lock and key with, so it's okay with me. It's actually less stressful for me than it is, I think, for people that we want to talk to today.
Yeah.
All right, let's go AJ in West Philly. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, AJ?
What up, Mike?
How you doing?
Hey, yesterday when we was talking about not trading up for the receivers because of how good Justin Jefferson was, I forgot my man Deshaun Hall, and we traded for a defensive end from the Browns. So it's not just relying on that defensive end from Penn State. We got a couple of defensive ends, and I think we can add more to the draft. But what I really wanted to get at was that conversation with Slay. You had grossly misquoted the situation. They were showing plays on the football field, and then he went to Slay's Instagram account and showed him with a picture of the player. It wasn't just him showing him on the football field and saying that statement.
Put it on Instagram?
No, he added an Instagram picture of Darius Slay's Instagram account. So he went.
That's wrong. That's totally and wrong. We're just talking about the words itself. That's wrong.
That's when he used those words, saying you chumming it up with this guy on Instagram. Okay, he went personal, and I had an analogy. I'm not going to curse, but I want you to hear these words, and I want you to see how it would take. Because if he had said that to me, we'd have been fighting. He'd have said that to Tyrone would have probably got up and tried to hit him. But I want you to imagine this, Mike. I show you doing a bad play, and I said that was weak, like those Italians over there dropping like flies. How would you respond?
What's it have to do with nationality?
See, so.
You made this a black-white issue.
No.
Yes, you did. White coach saying it to a black player.
No, if you say to any man, and you have to understand how us in the hood is, if you say that you kissed that man private, that's a fighting word.
Okay, all right, I got that. So you suppose it was a black coach that said that to him.
If he said it, any man would say it. If Natalie say it, it's fighting words from anybody saying that you committing a homosexual act with another man. That's fighting words. That's like back in the day when I said you're a young chicken.
He probably doesn't know that, and I'm not condoning what he said. What I'm saying is, from a football standpoint, what he means is, why are you being so soft on that guy? And he probably is stupid, and he's probably not bright enough to think beyond that part of it.
But it wasn't just on the field. He made that comment through his personal life on Instagram with him.
Well, that's totally wrong. Let's just take the words itself and what he thinks he's doing. Now, should he know that in the black culture you can't do something like that? He probably should. But he's a bonehead.
It's a good chunk of white culture, too.
Okay.
You can't say that.
Yeah, but see, to me, I look at it like it's a vulgar way of hammering home a point about you being soft. just like Harvey Keitel did in Pulp Fiction. And we looked at that and we laughed at it.
Yeah, that was a life, literally life or death situation. This is football. Yeah. I can tell you what, and he's right. If Natalie said that, like, obviously I can't strike Natalie, but I would expect my wife to. Natalie said that to me. My wife, the next time she saw her, it have to be on site.
And
you cannot say that on site.
To get to that
Natalie
level,
have to go down.
To actually say that to somebody else, you have to, like, that's, so it's just, insulting.
Then Tyrone is saying, you can say it if you're successful. Are we saying it's wrong on its face, or it's okay if a guy's successful and uses those terms? He's got carte blanche to use.
No, it's not carte blanche. That's everything in life. Just like if a girl's a 10, she can absolutely do things that a girl that's a 2 can't do. That does not mean that the 10 doing it is okay. But if you go out to a restaurant and a 10 on a date is rude to a waiter or a waitress, you may not say anything. If an ugly girl said it, you would absolutely chastise, like, hey, stop being rude. That doesn't mean it's not right or wrong. Winners are 10s is my point. This guy's a loser and wrong.
Rude is rude.
In theory,
football coaches are rude every day of the week. Sports coaches are rude and crude every day of the week. Players are rude and crude every day of the week. It's a different climate.
Right, but what you're not acknowledging is not everybody's equal. Carson Wentz could absolutely get away with something that Boston Scott could not get away with. If Carson Wentz did a certain thing, it'd be wrong, and because he's the franchise quarterback, he'd get away with it.
So you're not saying get away and being prohibited two different things. Getting away with it means what?
Getting away with it means
wouldn't cause an outcry in the public.
There's certain things that Carson Wentz could do where Carson Wentz wouldn't get cut, and Boston Scott would straight lose his job. Like, if a certain player, if Carson Wentz, God forbid, he doesn't even drink, got a DUI, no one's cutting him. If a certain player, number 50 on the roster, gets a DUI, they're cutting him. It's still wrong.
It's not the same thing.
When I say that a successful coach can get away with it, it's still wrong. But if you have enough clout and cachet, you can get away with it.
Well, you should be able to get away with it. If it's wrong on its face, you shouldn't be able to get it. Natalie is saying it shouldn't be completely. It's all up to anybody who says it. It doesn't matter who it is.
It should be, but I'm acknowledging reality. Belichick can get away with it because he's got all that hardware.
All right, Belichick. Sean Payton?
No, he's only got one ring. He wouldn't get away with it.
Mike McCarthy?
No.
Doug Peterson?
Doug wouldn't say that. That's what I'm saying.
Relax over there. I'm just giving you names.
Doug would never say that.
Ron Rivera.
No, he hasn't won anything.
Okay, so only one guy can say it. Get away with it.
Andy Reid can get away with it.
Oh, Andy Reid can get away with it.
Yeah, he got enough. He's currently
got one Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's won enough. He got tons of wins. Of active coaches, two can get away with saying that. Everybody else is losing their whole team by doing that.
Ryan on a cell. Oh, hang in there. You'll be our next caller. We have a couple of open lines, 610-622-0975. And we got a lot of significant other talk. And it's not just about your significant other. It's about the cloistering and what is doing to you at this particular point. It's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard to live under the same roof. If you got a big family, you're never with that family together unless they were like real small children, and then you could escape it by going to work, or she could escape by going to work. We've always had escape routes. We don't have them now. How's that working? 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2:45. I just got an email. Somebody. My wife and I have been married for a really long time. Politically, philosophically, we're very close. But watching TV, we could not be more different. This is so indigenous to men versus women, too. I watch old movies repeatedly. She can't watch a movie more than once. What woman have you ever known, Tyrone, that could watch a movie more than once? Is your wife do? She watches a movie more than once. Women by nature are not repeat movie watchers.
No.
Have you noticed this?
I do notice that. My wife will make exceptions when she feels left out.
Okay.
So if she feels left out of a conversation, like about Star Wars, she then went back and watched them.
Okay.
Because she wanted to be part of the conversation. But organically, what it done.
What's amazing, here's, I can make the Godfather comparison here. In general, women are not interested in the Godfather.
Right.
They completely do not understand a man's affection of watching the Godfather over and over again. And in any movie that's in that category, women do not understand that concept.
A woman will watch certain rom-coms, in my experience, over and over again.
Yeah. I could
like
watch...
Like a Sleepless in Seattle, where that was big. Yeah. Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
Oh, those could be repeats.
No, it's actually, it's I love the differences of between men and women.
What movies do you watch,
I could watch The Departed 24 hours a day. I could watch Goodfellas 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I'll tell you why you watch The Departed. Wow. The Departed appeal to you.
I love that movie.
Leonardo DiCaprio and the Irish connection.
It's a good,
it's a great movie.
But I love that movie. It really, I mean.
That's the only movie you can repeat that?
I can repeat 20 a movie.
Name a few more.
You are probably the aberration.
None of them are chick flicks, not one of them.
Yeah, but anyway.
To be fair, I have my favorite movies, but I think that.
Which are? Real fast.
My favorite movies?
Uh-huh.
Don't pigeonhole us. Yes, I am.
So what's your favorite movie, Dad?
My favorite movie of all time?
That you rewatch the most, yes.
It's probably Goodfellas.
Nah.
Or The Departed.
And then after that? Then.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's fun. I mean, I love the difference.
Silver Linings Playbook.
All right.
No, there's certain movies that I think that men and women can find a middle ground on. But I do agree with you guys that generally the tastes are
just
different.
It's just an innate difference between the genders. And so this email goes on. This is the example. She watched The Real Housewives, The Kardashians, every home improvement or house flipping show. This is so indigenous to female.
Oh, yeah.
I like those house flipping shows.
American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, and I can't stomach any of them. So I end up in the bedroom watching the smaller TV, which really ticks me off. Now that we're under the same roof at home every day, we are going to get on our nerves quickly.
Well,
each other's nerves quickly.
Now, this is where, isn't this where compromise should come in?
Yeah.
Where, honey,
and
you
with
can
the
have
compromise.
The big...
I don't want to compromise. I want to watch what I want
to
watch.
You can have the big TV from this time to this time, and then we'll switch. And then you can have the big TV from this time to this time, right?
No excuse to have a small TV.
Yeah, like that's silly.
All right, I don't want to.
I don't have a TV in my house less than 50 inches. The bedroom TV is 50 inches. I got to lay in the bed and watch TV. Oh, the horror. We're good.
Yeah,
we're good anywhere we go.
Not like the old days where you had to pay a couple thousand for a big TV.
Yeah, like you got to have all. That's his fault for having a small TV in the bedroom. Have a real one.
But it's a classic difference.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree there's different things.
Men can watch a movie over and over again. Women cannot for the most part.
Yeah.
And men are not going to watch The Real Housewives, The Kardashians. It's a classic difference between the genders.
Should I tell Ty's secret of one of his favorite reality TV shows?
What's he got?
Ty likes Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, I love Vanderpump Rules.
I don't even know what that is.
I love Vanderpump Rules. I'm not ashamed of that.
I don't know what
it's
it is.
It's part of the NBC Universal family. I love Vanderpump Rules.
What is it? What is Vanderpump Rules? I have no idea what that is.
She was on The Real Housewives, which I did not watch her Real Housewives. The only Real Housewives I ever watched was the Jersey one when they flipped the table. I didn't watch her, but she has her own show. She owns a bunch of restaurants. And the people that work at her restaurants, that shows up revolves around them.
Uh-huh.
And the show is phenomenal. In fact, Brian Westbrook also watches this show.
Really?
It's so good. It is by far the best reality show. And I am not ashamed one iota about loving that show. They're not going to shame me. I tell people why.
So she was a housewife of Beverly Hills?
Yes. Okay. I didn't watch that.
I actually used to watch a little of that.
I didn't watch that one. I watched Jersey and New York were the only two I've ever seen. I watched Jersey all the time up to a certain point.
Yeah, I did it. I co-hosted an event with one of those ladies.
Who? Which one?
The one that was married to a prince.
Wait, the Countess?
Prince, yeah, Countess.
The Countess, oh, Luann. Dana called her a discount.
I hosted an event with the Countess.
Oh, look at you. She was a good looking person.
I can't watch The Housewives at all.
She's all right.
I could only watch the Beverly Hills ones because I found them to be the most entertaining.
Yeah, that one I didn't watch.
But I don't watch them because if you don't like each other, why are you all still hanging out? I can't get past that. You just want to go to dinner and fight with each other? What kind of friends are those? I can't watch them. They drive me up a wall.
Like I said, I'm out.
I've been through that stage
of watching a reality. I don't roll.
All my girlfriends love them. But I'm like, I can't watch people fight on TV.
I watched up to a certain point. And then I was like, all right. It got to the point where the credits and they were fighting.
Yeah.
It used to build up. Like, they have a plot. They would go do something fun. And there might be a fight. Now it was just, why'd you go to the bathroom like that? And it just, I was out.
Used to watch Jersey Shore.
I never watched Jersey Shore.
Oh.
I watched a couple of
Jersey Shore.
I hate all of
my daughter reminds me all the time. She reminds me that she tried to call me once, and I texted her. I texted her back and I said, "I'll talk to you later. I'm watching Jersey Shore."
That's a violation.
Jersey Shore was gold.
She preserved that text that she sends it to me every now and then.
That's pretty good. Mike Listenelli.
Yeah. Let's go to Spanky and Cobbs Creek. Spanky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spanky!
Mike, this is taking me back. What we got 20 years in now, Mike, about that?
About that, yep.
Yeah. So this is taking me back to when you used to do like little segments like Dr. Love's statements back in the day.
Yeah.
I used to like that. This is great. So I want to say this. I tried to call in yesterday because the topic was something about men wanting to be married. Was that the topic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was yesterday. We were talking about my experience says that if a woman didn't press for the wedding, a man would be content to just keep going on engaged.
I did that, and it kind of lead me into the segue which y'all talking about today, Mike. I would love to be with my girl every day.
Uh-huh.
Honestly speaking, we live in separate houses, so like she just gave me a key to her house in November, and actually, I've been over there more times than I've been over in my own house.
But you're not there full time. You see, you always can go and do your own thing. Now, I think about this: if you were living together now, you'd be under the same roof every minute.
But the only problem is the TV would be a problem because she don't like to watch. Like I'm an old show guy, right? She don't like to watch no old shows. Like I could watch my favorite movie is Roll House. I could watch Roll House all day long, right? But she won't watch like nothing that's. Oh, she won't watch it. So we have a problem only on the TV, but we compromise because, you know, I don't mind watching some of the sappy stuff. Like, she's the queen of Netflix. Like, she can find some good Netflix movies, and I'm good all day with that. She don't really like sports. Other than that, I'm cool. I wouldn't mind being quarantined with her all day.
You say that now, Spanky. You got beer muscles right now.
Mike, I'm telling you right now, and I know I'm going to get killed for this because my homie's going to text me in a minute and be like, come on with the dumb stuff. But I love, Mike. I told y'all that a long time ago.
Everybody loves love. Spanky, everybody loves love. I'm not saying that you don't love love. I'm saying that part of love is having an escape.
Yeah, I'll go downstairs if I got to, but I don't mind being... I'd rather be in the house with her than be in the house by myself. Like, I'm in the house by myself right now.
You've never been in the house 24-7 with her.
Oh, not 24-7.
Maybe a couple days. Maybe a couple days. So here's what happens. There are always, between couples, little annoyances that you ignore. When you're cloistered, those little annoyances turn into big annoyances. Like, for instance, someone who won't close the kitchen cabinets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Little thing like that.
Yes.
Somebody that will slice a rustic loaf of bread and leave the crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that that you go, oh, I care, I'm going to work. All of a sudden, now it's in your face 24-7, and you get a little more annoyed. That's all I'm saying. This is still in the early stages of this.
Now, everybody's loading up on toilet paper. Nothing more annoying than a person that won't replace the roll normally you just, when you replace the role, but when somebody that's
a man thing.
Has just the role there.
That's a man thing.
If only it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your wife does that?
Yeah, it's me. She'll put another one there, like near it, and then put it, I have to put it on the roll.
That's classic.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't usually care, but then this past weekend, I was like,
I lived with five other dudes my junior year of college, and I lived with five guys who wouldn't replace the role. It was unbelievable. There was every time I get there, it was the empty role. And so I created an artistic how-to.
Oh, no.
Step one, step two, step three. I worked on this for a week. It was beautiful art, and I taped it right above the...
Yeah. Now, we have a thing in there where, in every bathroom, where it's kind of stored, where you can reach it, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But you just like, you know, it's nothing to just put it on the roll, just like she used to before our fridge did it. She wouldn't replace ice trays.
Yeah, I was in Donnie Brasco, where he the cabinets. What, you got the cereal over here with the soup? You got cereal over here, right? Yes. That becomes a big annoyance.
I mean, these are the little, I guess, idiosyncrasies that you were talking about with marriage, that this is the stuff that eventually leads, like, picks at
not the big stuff.
That's the stuff that slowly erodes relationships. Yep.
The little annoyance of keeping a cabinet open is like a Bic lighter flicker. And then that turns into the bonfire.
Yep.
Eventually, when you're cloistered.
Because you start fighting about the cabinets, and next thing you know, you're like, and you didn't tell me you loved me 6 months ago.
When you can go to work, when you can go to the store, that's not an annoyance.
Correct, yes.
All right, 3 o'clock hours ahead. John Clark's going to join us. He interviewed Darius Slay. We'll talk to him about that interview after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.